How surprised were you listening to Jack talk about what the engines would do, the new one? How surprised were you at the Mustang's performance compared to the P-39?
They were so much. You know, when I flew a P-39, it was my first fighter, and I loved it. You know, I'm flying fighters, and I had nothing to compare it with. So when we flew the Mustang, we were really impressed with the quality of that airplane. It was absolutely magnificent, and of course it was an airplane that they needed in Europe at that time. And the big thing was the endurance and the fact that we could stay with the bombers anywhere they wanted to go. And we were losing the air war until that Mustang got there.
What if there was such a thing as a typical mission, how many Mustangs might go? How many B-17s might go? I mean, what was the plan in one of those missions?
Well, when I by the time our group got together, we were the second Mustang unit to be equipped, second fighter group to be equipped with a Mustang. And the Pioneer unit was already in the theater, and they were assigned to the 9th Air Force for the invasion. And then they loaned them to the 8th, and they were so wildly successful, they demanded that the rest of the Mustangs go to them. So we were transferred to the 8th, and that was another good break. Typical mission, I guess you'd call it. By that time, they had quite a few bombers and replacement crews, and they had about a 3-month stand down because they were losing so many airplane bombers. That then we came over there and were equipped. So I would say in February, March of 1944, that typical mission, none of them were typical. Each one of them was different. But we would send out 16 guys per squadron. We had 3 squadrons in a group, 48 airplanes, with 2 spares behind each squadron, so that we would put 48 over the target. And there was 15 fighter groups in the 8th Air Force, and the P-47s and the P-38s, when we first got there, would pick them up first and escort them out. And then we had a kind of a complicated rendezvous system where we go out and we get relieved by somebody, and then the 38s and the 47s would pick them up again coming home. So, but as far as we were concerned, we didn't have to get up too early for a flight, because by the time, you know, that they would get over Germany around noon, something like that, and they'd take off and head out, we'd still be in bed, and we'd get up and go out and then meet them someplace before they got into Germany, and there would probably be 1,000 bombers.
1,000?
Yeah, maybe 1,200. 900 fighters, something like that. All in a big train, a string. The bombers would be in about a 60 box area, you know, flying little 3-ship Vs. to maximize the 50 caliber machine guns they had on. They had 10-man crews and a bunch of 50 calibers. They really had them, and so they spread them out so they would be very effective. And then when we first got there, the 8th Air Force was run by bomber pilots, so they told us how to fly escort. And they asked us to fly close. They wanted to see us. And it was kind of a feel-good thing. And so we would fly a little, when we'd make the rendezvous with that big stream of bombers, we'd fly along until we found our bombers. You remember on the B-17s, you saw the big triangle A, square Ds, or that was how you found your particular bombers. You'd fly along the line. We knew about where they were supposed to be in the time. And then we'd pick them up, and then we would fly a kind of a zigzag course, 90-degree turns over the top of them to keep our speed up. They're going very slow, and we want to keep our speed up so we didn't have to get... If the combat came, we'd be going pretty fast. And the typical mission would be kind of a go up to the North Sea and drop down, bomb something, and come home, kind of a triangle. And another thing about navigation, when we were through, or when we were relieved and could go home, or if you got in combat and you got separated and you didn't know where the hell you were, you could, we plotted this average course home. You knew whether you're north or south of the target, take a little off or add a little, and fly for 2.5 hours, and you let down, you'll hit England. It's a pretty big island. And then try to find your base.
where did Jimmy Doolittle come into this story?
Well, yeah, I want to bring that up. He took over the 8th Air Force early in 1944, and he had a different philosophy about, you know, he had a different background. He had flown fighters, he'd flown everything. And he came down, I read this part in his book. The 8th Air Force had a bomber command and a fighter command, and he came down to fighter command for his first visit. And he saw this big sign over the door, said the mission of the 8th Fighter Command is to something like bring the bombers home safely. And Doolittle asked General Kepner, he says, who put that up there? He says, I don't know, it was here when I got here, you know. And so he says, well, take it down. He said, the mission of the 8th Fighter Command is to destroy the Luftwaffe. And our first escort rules, went before Doolittle, was to stay with the bombers, absolutely. And you could drive the enemy away and come back, and you could dive to 18,000 feet if you were chasing somebody, and then you had to break it off and come back up and escort. And he said, he turned the fighter pilots loose. He said, pursue and destroy. That was his policy. And he says, once you fighter pilots engage the enemy, you take them to the ground and kill them. And that's when the victory soared. And it's kind of a probably not a well-known thing, because the classic way you get air superiority is to go over there and bomb the airfields and the aircraft on the ground and factories and the gasoline facilities, and anything critical to flight. And we were doing that, trying to demonstrate it, and not doing a very good job. So when Doolittle turned us loose, and by the way, we had to get air superiority before we could invade, you know, the Europe. And how we did it is after Doolittle gave us that clearance to pursue and destroy, we killed their experienced pilots in aerial combat. And I think historians agree with my story, but a lot of people don't realize that.